Hey everybody, I'm here to spread the word about the benefit being held for three-time cancer fighter Sid Destructo Slimmer. Sunday, April 23rd from 4 to midnight at the Archive in Soulard. The extravaganza is hosted by the one and only Clownvis Presley, as some of St. Louis' best acts perform their many talents. Michelle Minx of the Michelle Minx Academy of Pole Dance, comedian Andrew Frank, fire breather Carson Kelly, and drag performers Mary Shino and Lexi San Diego, with sideshow performer Travis Detritus, as well as music by the Trip Daddies, the Well Hungarians, and an open mic at the end of the night. Also, the triumphant return of Sid and Lexi's band Candy Coated Evil. Door prizes, raffles, incredible silent and live auction items, and special guests along the way. $10 suggests the door to help Sid pay for her ever-growing minimally insured bills and all the support until she can ring that bell at Siteman. This will be an event you will not want to miss. Sunday, April 23rd, 4 to midnight, or until they kick us out at Archive Soulard. Check Facebook for further details.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. I'll tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. If you haven't been by, come over, check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, and share a wall with Cha Cha Chow. You can get some tacos, get some cold drinks, hang out, watch one of your favorite bands in the studio recording, or if you're an artist, come get your music recorded over there. It's really something really cool, unique, special for St. Louis. So get out and support them. Check it out. Everything at GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to keep up to date with what they got going on. Got a couple of big events coming up, including April 8th, Saturday. They're doing a big joint release party. Five records released on Saturday, including Miss Molly Sims, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, Cara Louise Band, Fourth City, and Culprit Manifest. All five have recorded at Gaslight. All five are releasing their records April 8th at the Ready Room. Live performances from all five groups. So come out and check them out. See what they got going on. Again, full listing of details, everything at GaslightSTL.com, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason. And you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
With my posse in effect. Boy.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, recording today at Suburban Pro, with the guys of My Posse in Effect.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Jason Carr, I play the part of MCA.
And I'm Scott Rivers, I play the part of Mike D.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys... Man, this is a lot of fun. I think my first time actually getting to see it was that last summer over the Wayback Point Fest.
That show was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it was a ton of fun. So.
Yeah, man, that crowd was wild.
Yeah,
that was wild. That was a good time. They said they're going to do it again this year. They're going to have us back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just fun to, you know, kind of that. Obviously, there's a bit of nostalgia to all that stuff now. Like, but. You know, those, some of those songs and some of the bands that you maybe have kind of forgot about for a moment. But it was really a lot of fun to go out there and kind of hear all these songs again and stuff and see some bands. That, like, again, like Eve Six was there and stuff. Like, I hadn't heard from them in a long time. And
we shared a green room with Alien Ant Farm.
There you go. Yeah.
And then Nick Hex from 311 came over and was shooting the shit with them. And I was just like, hey, what's up? I'm Jason. And he's like, hey, I'm Nick. And then I was like... deuces.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty crazy.
It was wild. Yeah. We got the Rockstar treatment that day, for sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you guys, it was a ton of energy on the show, on the stage, and just the crowd was seemed to be really digging it, and yeah, it was fun, man.
I mean, we've been playing together for forever anyway, so in other groups, so for us, it's just easy to beat off each other and get live. So with that many people making noise, that much easier. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an awesome show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
So how'd this come to be, though? Where'd you guys decide we need to put together a Beastie Boys band?
Yeah, I guess we all kind of been throwing ideas around for years because we've all been in different bands together, and Moff had did a Tribe tribute a couple times where we did a big part in that. Like, we did a bunch of different...
Native Tongues.
I'm sorry, yeah, Native Tongues.
So, like, the whole
collective. And, you know, we both did a... Like, we did a bunch of Tribe songs and some Black Sheep and De La and stuff like that. And after that, I mean, Moff was saying he wanted to do a Beastie Boys one. And then me and Dwight started talking to different musicians about putting it together. And obviously me and Sparky, we both wanted to do it. And we were in 12-6 together, so that was no big deal. Mm-hmm. And then Dwight knew Bob, who I think I played shows with years ago at High Point. And Bob, he plays ad rock, and he kills it. He does it. He's awesome. And then Dwight also brought Brian on, the drummer Sullivan, who I didn't know. And Brian's a badass. He's a really good drummer, super, mm-hmm. super good drummer. And then Drew and me had talked about doing it already. Andrew Franklin, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah.
He was part of it originally. That's our brother. I miss that dude.
For sure, man.
And Drew came along. Moff, obviously, because, you know, he's badass, and it was his idea, basically. And we put it together. We played a couple shows. They were killer. The first one, the Ready Room, really rocked out. It was, they said we set the sales for alcohol that night. I mean, it was it was jam packed, and people really had a good time. And then we just kept bringing it, doing bigger and better, and it just keeps growing. And then after Drew passed, luckily enough, Matt Basler, who's good friends with our guitar player Matt, came along and played too. And Matt also Swicky, he's our guitar player. He's in 12-6, so he. Mm-hmm.
The guy that owns
the guy that owns the place that we're in right now, Swerve Pro. He's the main man. That's the homie number one. He helped get Matt, the other Matt, aboard, and there you go. Now we got it. It's a great little sound. We're good. We're on point with
sure.
it.
Yeah, that's what I loved about it. It was a big full band too. You know, it wasn't like you guys are just doing it to a track or something or whatever. You know, whatever everything else. But if you got Moff on the tables and you got a full band going and that's a lot of fun to see these guys you know, you guys doing what you're doing on stage.
It's badass. I mean, Sparky, he's a beast. It's just fun. It's a good time, and we all love the Beastie Boys. We grew up on that shit.
Sure.
So I mean, why not play their shit? And it's nice to get paid to be musicians. I mean, shit, we've been playing for 20 years almost in this city, and to actually make some money at it's pretty nice.
Yeah. What you guys, like, I mean, obviously I know you guys do a lot of the hits, which is, you know, what people want to hear, but do you guys try to bring in other song suggestions, or how does that work?
I love the B-sides. I think some of those songs, the ones that weren't necessarily, like, singles, are a lot of people's favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pull that out of the bag, people are always, like, they go nuts.
Yeah. I mean, that, for me, you know, License Ill, I can listen to the whole record, you know,
yeah.
And they're all, like, great, so...
People want to hear that album. I mean, people do want us to play that album, so we got to incorporate as much of that into it as possible. But, yeah, we want to play the B-sides, too.
Right.
This show coming up on the 15th, we're going to play quite a few B-sides. And we do a bunch of punk stuff, too. We love their punk music. That's fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
What you guys ever get into any of their newer stuff and things? Hello Nasty and...
I think we're adding Check It Out, which is off of, like, what was that, the Five Boroughs?
Or yeah.
Whatever. You know, on the last couple albums, they only had, like, one or two songs they made videos for.
Right.
So, if I remember right, it's the one where it's got all the different people, like, playing them, dressed up in the costumes and stuff.
Oh,
you know?
It's like Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
And them, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
The dude from Eastbound and Down's in there, too.
Yeah, Kenny Powers, dude.
Frodo, whatever the hell that kid's name is.
Elijah Wood. Yeah. Is that right?
Danny McBride.
Yeah, Danny McBride. Yeah, that's it.
Will Ferrell's even in there as a, like in a limo or something. He's like playing cowbell and stuff. And
don't they hit Ted Danson with like a, they throw something at like a beer can or some shit?
I have to watch that video again.
Well, there's like a, it's like a short movie. Like
a, it's a short movie, yeah. That they go to the past and the future or some shit.
No, it's fun. Yeah, it's the Fight for Your Right Revisited. That's what it's, the title of. So
it starts with them like walking out of the party from the
Yeah, man. Yeah, what's the other the one of the bigger ones they did? I'm blanking on the name.
Paul's Boutique is like my favorite album of theirs. I'll tell you that. We like to play a lot of that album because it's funky.
Yeah,
I mean, both the Matts get to get down on that album a lot more. That's a lot of funk in it.
Sorry, I have to look it up. It's gonna drive me crazy.
What do you think?
Intergalactic.
Oh yeah, we've been doing that one for a minute. What else do we do on that album?
We do Remote Control.
Yeah,
that's a dope track.
Yeah.
Intergalactic's fun. That's a good track. We do that one with Moff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's fun.
Yeah, there's a you're kind of talking about doing Native Tongue and stuff and your own original stuff as well and everything, but were these rhymes and all the stuff with, I mean, obviously you've been listening to it for several years, but was this stuff difficult to learn for you guys? Or
hell yes.
Yeah, dude.
You think you know, you'd be like, yeah, I've been listening to this rap along in the car and stuff like this for years, whatever. And then you're like looking at what they actually say, and you're just like, what the what is this?
Yeah.
I'm like, and it's ridiculous too. Like,
yeah.
Some of the songs, I can't believe it. I must have just had like a 10-year-old vocabulary or whatever.
Yeah.
For me Bob, who plays Ad Rock, it's hard for us to tell who's got what parts between Mike D and Ad Rock sometimes when you listen to those songs. You really got to I try to find videos of every song we do so I can see who's, make sure we get it right sometimes because it's hard to tell. They both got those nasal voices and sometimes they're both kind of being whiny with it. So yeah, it's kind of hard to tell who's who at some points. Yeah, and then we do songs. I'm like, I think you're rapping my part. I think I'm rapping your part. We still try to figure that shit out.
Yeah. I think obviously attention to detail is very important, you know, to get it right. But I think ultimately, as long as it's entertaining, people, I don't think anybody's going to critique too much if you're doing some other part or whatever.
There's parts where they're trading off, and it's like, practicing that shit is like hard as hell, dude, because it's like each person saying one line at different points. Some person says like, you know, four bars and then it, like random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like locking that down stuff. But when we do it live, we're going to cover each other's asses. And you're right, most people won't notice. There's going to be one guy in the back that's like on a blog the next day.
Right.
Oh, you guys missed the one line and friggin' Eggman.
Yeah.
Eggman's my jam, by the way.
Yeah.
Never coming to go to one of your shows again.
Sure, man. Yeah, that. I think whenever I saw you guys there at Point Fest, also they were trying to get an encore, weren't we?
I was riling the crowd up, man.
They tried to stop us from playing "So What You Want," which was our last song. The sound guy was like, "You gotta get off." And I turned around and I looked at Matt Sawicki, and I'm like, "Keep it going, do not stop," because it was the song before that. Because if not, we weren't even going to get to play that song. And I'm like, "Just play, do not stop." So then, we played that song, and then. Yeah, people were crying for an encore. We should have kept it going. I was telling him off. I'm like, play something.
Yeah.
But his shit was already turned off. And we couldn't do it at that point.
I can't think of the band's name. Someone went over their time. What is that song?
It was the band before us went over their time. So our shit got cut.
I cry for you as I die for you. Pain in my heart is Israel.
Do you know that song?
Yeah.
God, who is that? What's that band's name? It's like some weird 90s band.
Yeah.
It's not Silverchair.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not Silverchair.
Either way, they went over on their time, and that made us not be able to do our last song and almost not do our second to last song.
Yeah. I mean, we should have just played it. We should have just played Fight for Your Right to Party because the crowd would have went nuts. We should have just done it.
Did you guys do Paul Revere?
That was going to be the last, the encore song was Paul Revere.
That's just, I don't know, I love that one, man.
I love it too.
It's a great song.
Yeah, a lot of people's favorite.
For sure. That's just, I mean, and it's fun to rap along with.
Candlebox.
Everybody knows it.
Fucking Candlebox.
Yeah.
Candlebox? Oh, there you go. Nice. Very nice.
There it is.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, Paul Revere's great. That's a fucking jam. And Bob kills it. It's great for me because I only have like three lines on it. It's the easiest song ever for me.
Well, I think what's fun for me about that song is it's like a story. You know, it's the storytelling aspect of that. And not that they hadn't done it before, but it's like, but that's why I respond to that. Like, it's just fun to get involved in that story they created. So
I remember being a kid and loving that song, like a little kid, and just like, this is an awesome song. They're telling a story. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did he do with a bass with a wiffle ball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
man.
What's he doing? You're a little kid. You're like, so what? He like beat him up with a wiffle ball bat? It's like, no. Way worse.
Well, we got we're talking about all these shows and things. We got a couple of big ones we got coming up. You wanna get involved, come see these guys live April 15th at the Del Mar Hall
here
in St. Louis, Missouri.
Really excited to play there.
Yeah, man. Beautiful room. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's a big one.
I haven't played there. I haven't been there even, so I'm really excited.
I've been there a couple times now. I really like what they're doing over there. I think it's really laid out nicely, and everything's coming together, kind of working on the kinks out by now. But, it's a good room. And then I like that the fact that the bar is all separate from the live venue, so the live performance area. So,
nice.
It kind of cuts out all that background bar noise and things. So
nice.
And it is also, like, screens all over, so you can still watch the show from the bar or outside on the smoking patio and stuff. And
I like all that, too. Yeah.
Are they open when there's not, like, a show going on? Like, you can go in there and just check it out and grab a beer or some shit? Or?
Probably not. I think
I can get you to check it out during the day next week if you want.
I don't know. Sometimes I just like to be surprised, I guess.
Yeah, I guess me, too. It'll make it a little bit, the nerves a little bit extra that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a nice big dance floor area, so plenty of room to come get a little rowdy on the...
Nice. We're planning on having that place filled up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. We've definitely been doing good on drawing, so I'm hoping that continues and we pack them in. Sure. It's going to be a kick-ass show. It's the day before Easter. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, come out to that. You guys, anybody with you guys, or are you just...
DJ Moff will be opening up the world. Best DJ, definitely the best DJ in the Midwest. I've seen. I mean, I can't think of anybody better than Moff, but I know that dude's a badass.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch too, man. I got to see him open a couple of those Urge shows and stuff too. And
he gets the party going.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah.
Hey, looking for some new music? Come check out Music Record Shop, located in the Dot Zach Building. You can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com or come in store and check out their nice display of records, vinyl, tapes, and CDs, and you can get yourself all kinds of new music, new records in every Friday. And if you want to get your records on the shelf, reach out. They have a wonderful local music selection as well, and they can help you out with that. We got a couple big events coming up, including Record Store Day, April 22nd. So mark your calendar, come out to Record Store Day. A lot of exclusive releases and other things coming up. So more details to be announced, but mark your calendar for the 22nd. And full listing of events all at musicrecordshop.com. And follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're always giving away free tickets and records and things, so it's a good way to get involved and win free stuff. So check it out.
Absolutely.
And then for all of our friends in Colombia, you guys are heading up there for April 28th at the Blue Note.
Yes.
Excuse me. Allergies, man.
I know. It's the weed smoke that we're in him are passing back and forth. You got a second, inhale it.
I gotta ask off for that. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, please do. I don't want to have to like to put a wig on and then right. like go back and forth. It's too much.
It's quite a while off, but throw it on your calendar. You guys are returning to the Ready Room for Wednesday night before Thanksgiving on November 22nd.
That is absolutely correct.
They say it's like the biggest party night of the year, right?
You're right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You've ever worked in a bar, you know that.
Yeah.
Yes, I've worked, fortunately, a lot of those nights in a bar, and it is it is awful. I mean, it's fun for everyone else, not so much fun for the bartenders. And right. It's fun at the end of the night, count that money, but
yeah,
fuck that. I'll be playing that night, having a lot more fun.
There you go. Let's see if we can beat those alcohol sales.
Yeah, I like that idea. We'll do that.
Yeah. I think we can do it. That's a nice little stamp of approval that... you're setting the record for alcohol sales there.
We did it back-to-back.
Yeah.
I like that. Both times we played there, we set it and set it again.
Right. Yeah. And means your fan base likes to party, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think it's like a lot of people kind of mid-30s. Like, they're kids at home. They took off to come to this. Right. They came to get bucked. You know, they're going to have a good time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Kids come, too, though. We've seen a ton of kids in the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids get wild.
We probably sound better drunk, too.
I know we sound better drunk.
Yeah.
I know I look better drunk, so I sound better drunk.
Is that something that's, playing, Columbia and stuff? I mean, is that you guys getting a little more out-of-town stuff?
We're going to work on that for the future here. Yeah, we definitely want to take this on the road and make some good efforts at it. Maybe try to see us in Vegas at some point.
Yeah.
I would like that.
All right.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty wild.
I see big things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I don't know. It's a lot of fun. I love it all, but it's like, it's kind of a bummer, like you guys are talking about being in your original stuff too, like where it's hard to kind of get paid doing that. People are very excited about a lot of these tribute bands, and like, you know, again, it's a good party, it's just fun, man. And but it's a bummer that the original art isn't always getting you there to Vegas and stuff. So
yeah, I mean,
I'm still making original music.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be out there, like,
I mean, that's a,
even on the sly, like, hey, look at what else I'm doing.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, locally we have El Monstero here doing big things at the pageant every year, and around town they
sold like, I think, like 19,000 tickets to their show at Riverport what's it called now?
Hollywood Casino.
I mean, that's some serious.
Sure. But they, I think those guys are the same way, though. I mean, they love doing that. Music, but they all have original bands. They all have other projects that are involved in, and I think it helps just shine a light on everything too. You know, like when people take notice. You know, again, like they just like you guys. Are like, well, we'll go see what else they're up to. And,
I mean, we're both gonna keep everybody in our crew. I would imagine Matt owns a studio, so he's Basler. You know, he obviously is involved in numerous things. He's going to play so smooth 10 times in a row.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, well, Rob Thomas. And Carlos Santana.
Did you see that?
No.
He's going to play it 10 times in a row. It's so stupid. It's hilarious. Yeah.
Mm. The funny thing is that I think everyone that's going kind of already knows what the thing is, whatever. So it'd be more funny if it was like a surprise, like people show up and then like, surprise, this is what it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, and they'll say everybody. I mean, yeah, they're making some cool stuff here in Suburban Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mats are. They're doing good stuff.
Definitely, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, check out Suburban Pro for all your recording needs.
Absolutely. T-shirt needs too.
Yeah, T-shirt.
Yeah.
Basler Screen Printing.
Yeah.
There you go. Couple plugs for our friends.
Yeah.
Fake passports.
And then, if you want someone to engineer your album, you definitely want Matt Sawicki engineering your album. I'm going to tell you that right now. You want him mixing it, mastering it, and putting his fingers on it any way he possibly can. Dude's a beast. That's
very sexual.
That's real. He makes love to the music, and it makes it sound beautiful.
Is there much else you guys? I mean, obviously you want to sell the live show, but doing this kind of stuff, it's tricky to, I don't think you can do like a record or anything like that, but maybe a DVDs or any live show video. Can you do any of that stuff like that? Or
we're selling T-shirts and merch and stuff like that. So, there is a way to make some money in the merch area. As far as selling their music, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, right.
And I'm sure MCA probably has all, rest in peace, has all sorts of things set out where that could never happen, ever, I would imagine.
We would like to, have live video and shit like that to promote, but I don't think we could really sell a DVD or music of it. We could record shit like audio and give it away, probably. Yeah. I don't know.
We're going to have to do a promotional thing. We're going to have a YouTube video of us playing some of their songs, the book stuff. So I guess that's technically we could do that. We just can't make any money off of that. That'd be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, I know there's a lot of, details in the fine print and stuff.
I guess we should probably know that, but we don't. No, from what I've seen, and this is kind of like how when you play it live, any money that does get collected off of that goes to them via ASCAP or whatever union that they're. So we won't make any money off of it ever in that capacity. They do. Right. So if we were very successful, it'd be good for them because they would see checks from it.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that's what I mean. Anybody that covers anything on their records and stuff, just the songwriters are getting all the royalties for it.
Yeah.
That's kind of something. Yeah, you get some people. There's a few artists out there that are really particular about people using their music or whatever and stuff. And it's like, you think it would just shine a light on everything else that they're help if they like their version or whatever. Or
that's always been my attitude. A lot of, you'll hear about artists raising a stink about it. I've sampled a bunch of people, and I just want to be like, hey, Billy Joel, when's the last time you made a hit, punk? Let's get this money, son.
Yeah,
that's real.
Yeah. I guess the only thing, too, what the was recently, I think it was Sam Smith or whatever. What's his name?
British guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did a song, and then they said that there was a part where it's similar to a Tom Petty song.
Yep, and then heard that it was "I Won't Back Down" was the Tom Petty song. Yeah, that they said it ripped up.
And then Tom Petty said, or then they made him a songwriter on it. So now he gets royalty credits off of that song, and
The Marvin Gaye "Happy Pharrell" thing.
Oh yeah,
or whatever.
Blurred Lines.
Yeah,
Blurred Lines.
Or Blurred Lines. That's what I meant.
What was that song? No More Standing Against the Wall. I used to go out to parties and so nice, something like that.
Yeah,
right. So at least I could see where maybe doing a sample and then not crediting the artist that was responsible for it. But
give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about. But yeah, I think it's we're all artists. We're all recreating something. We're all inspired by different things, and it's just you take those influences and you make it something new. It's been happening forever, everybody.
And as an artist, I do love writing and performing original music, but it is really nice to go out there and play these songs too. The crowd loves it. I love that energy. Is awesome.
There's an old saying. I think I'm probably saying it wrong, but good artists borrow, great artists steal, or something.
Yeah.
You guys ever heard that before?
Yeah.
But I think there's something just about that, the fact that people know all the words to all these songs.
Fun, man. Right. Yeah, if I don't know my words, I can just hold the microphone away to the crowd, let them rap it along.
Yeah, man. But I think that's, it seems like, because people, I'm a huge Stern fan, and he's had all these guys in the studio and stuff talking, and recently had Daryl Hall and John Oates.
I heard they're doing a reunion.
Yeah, they're coming to town here with Tears for Fears.
And, yeah, I saw the
big show.
But, that'd be dope.
But that's what they were kind of talking about, is like the fact that like they're selling bigger shows now than they did in their, you know, prime or whatever, you know, their heyday. They're selling more tickets to, and I think it's that fact that people know all the words to every one of their songs and come out and sing and then have a good time, and
they can bring their family right. and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's something about that, you know, sense of familiar, you know, so
comfort.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be either way. It's gonna be it's all a good time, good fun.
I can't wait.
For sure, man.
These shows are gonna be a blast. We got some cool stuff planned out. Yeah, it's gonna be a blast.
Yeah, I'm excited. Man.
The 15th's gonna be wild.
Yeah, that's again, grab tickets on Ticketmaster, or do you guys selling tickets? You got
something? No, I think you just go through the Delmar Hall, right. Probably delmarhall.com would be my guess, sure. But whatever their webpage is,
yeah,
Google that shit.
Yeah, grab some tickets, come out and party with my posse in effect.
Yeah.
And get your Beastie Boys fix. But yeah, that this all sounds like a lot of fun, man. I'm excited for you guys, and then hopefully, like I said, we'll get the snowball rolling here. We'll get to keep more and more people jumping on board. Got a
what songs shows. Do you want to hear, Shane?
Like I said, I mean that all that earlier stuff is a lot of my favorite. You know, all that.
It's definitely the fan favorites.
Girls and
we're doing that one.
Yeah, and Paul Revere, like we said, and
all the time.
She's crafty.
We're doing. There's a female Beastie Boys tribute band in Chicago, and they're called She's Crafty.
Oh yeah,
that's just pretty clever.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's
pretty funny to me.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to book a show with them and do a little...
There you go.
Little cross promotion.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, make that happen.
So is this something you guys... I mean, like I said, we're kind of going back. Like, where do you guys first recall getting into your Beastie Boys stuff? Or is this something came together later for you guys? Do you guys recall listening to this stuff when you were young?
That's funny that you say that. Real quick backstory: that I wanted to get the Guns N' Roses "Appetite for Destruction" cassette. You know, cause that's how we did
cassettes.
And for some reason, like it had some really Robert Williams, the guy who runs Juxtapoz, great surrealistic style artist, like just crazy. But it had some like kind of like streetwalker that got raped by some monster thing that was originally the outer artwork, and my, you know, they flipped it to the inside eventually because of all the people freaking out about it. But my grandma somehow caught wind of it and told my mom, like, no, we can't, you can't be listening to that and all that. So I ended up getting licensed to Ill. That was the first ever cassette I had, and the reason I knew about it is because my friend Gene, his older brother Joe, like listened to like everything, and that was one of the things he turned us on to. And I think Brass Monkey was probably my favorite song, like, when I was a little kid, just, like, a lively, like,
sure.
fun-sounding song. I was, like, Time to Get Ill, too. But
yeah, Time to Get Ill.
No joke, that was the first ever cassette tape I bought.
Yeah?
It was, like, Prophecy.
Very cool. It's funny that, like, it's also part of what I find funny about, like, pop music and stuff today. Like you're listening to Brass Monkey, probably singing all the words and have no idea, like... What they're even talking about.
Right.
You know, like,
I remember asking my dad what these things were.
Right. That's a. I work for a school district, and like I go to the, you know, we have these dances or whatever in the middle, and like all these kids are singing, you know, all these songs to, and it's like some of it's a little weird, you know, kind of disturbing hearing these kids singing some of those lyrics, but
I can.
They're like Molly Percocet.
Yeah, right. Anyway, it's just funny to me, but yeah, that's pretty good. I remember one of my first record experiences. I picked up, went to a flea market. And long before I was probably old enough to be buying the material I did, I bought, because my cousin introduced it to me, and but I bought Eazy-E's Straight Off the Streets of Motherfucking Compton.
Oh, man, yeah.
And
Eazy-E was like my first hip hop love for sure.
Okay. Is that the one that had real mother effing G's?
Yeah, and then
that's a good album.
Yeah, what's I bashed his head in with my Louisville Slugger. it was a great record, but it was just, you know, like I said, I'm probably way too young to be listening to that material and stuff. But luckily my parents weren't very overprotective, like in that sense. They let me listen to whatever and stuff. So
it's kind of like playing video games, in a sense. I mean, should your kids be playing violent video games? Probably not. But is it going to make your kids violent? No.
Right.
Neither is music or anything.
Or Beavis and Butthead, like they used to say, and all the Eminem and Marilyn Manson music and all that stuff. They used to.
I remember
when I was growing up, that's what they said. Like, that was always that if you listen to that, you're going to be bad kids or whatever and all that. But
yeah, I think it turned out all right. Yeah, he turned out a good guy. Yeah, see? So there you go. What do they know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's the people that listen to country music when their kids are the ones you got to worry about.
that's pretty wild though. That this is your very first record, and now you're on stage singing these songs, man.
What's weird is that I couldn't get the Guns N' Roses thing. The next tape I got was Sam Kinison, like. All he talks about is hookers and toes and stuff. Right, yeah. And I'm like 8 years old. And I'm like, how is it in hindsight? I'm like, how did this shit happen?
Actually, I take that back. Music does influence. Records can influence.
Then it was like Jane's Addiction. And then I think it was like either Megadeth or Ice Cube. But I was, that's kind of like it was just all over the fucking place.
Yeah. Nice. That's how I like my music too. I'm all, you can put my iTunes on shuffle, and you never know what you're going to get, man. It's all over the place. So,
yeah, that's good for the brain.
Yeah, man. How about you, Scott? Do you recall your first record you picked up?
My first record I picked up? What was the Motley Crue Girls, Girls, Girls record? What was that? That was like the first one I bought myself.
The first record you got was, "Hey, Scotty, it's your birthday." Remember those fucking name birthday records?
Yes. As a kid, my dad gave me a Kool and the Gang record. I remember that, and playing it on my Fisher-Price record player and loving that shit. And then I stepped on it and broke it. I was really pissed off. Yeah. But the first album I ever bought with my own money was, I think, Motley Crue.
Yeah.
I loved, first time I heard.
Which one, though?
The one that had Girls, Girls, Girls on it.
It's called Girls, Girls.
Oh, is it? There you go. Yeah, that's what I thought. I remember the cover had them all, like, glammed up. Yeah, motorcycle. I thought I was going to be a rock star.
I had every Motley Crue album I know.
Yeah, that was good shit to me. And then I heard Beastie Boys playing soccer. Somebody on my soccer team had the License to Ill album. I had the tape.
Yeah.
And they were playing it at practice, and I was thinking, what is this? I got to get this.
Yeah.
And pretty much consume me.
Somebody got some drums going.
Yeah, yeah they do.
And what I thought was really cool too, that original record, like License Ill and stuff. Rick Rubin, was had the hands on a lot of that stuff. So
yeah, he did.
Which
is great because Matt Sawicki, our guitar player, kind of looks like him.
Yeah,
I think people might actually think it's him sometimes. They're like, Rick Rubin's on stage.
I saw him sign a boob, Rick Rubin, actually.
Nice.
I think he needs a little more gray in that beard.
Yeah, he needs a little more. He's like his son.
That's hilarious. Well, very cool, guys. This has been a lot of fun getting to hang, and
thanks for having us.
I appreciate you guys. It's kind of been a long time in the making. I mean, I've known you guys a long time, and been a fan of your work. And it's just kind of crazy we get on here talking about some Beastie Boys tunes. But
man, the Beasties they cross so many different planes. Yeah. Everybody pretty much can dig them. Anybody from any walk of life.
Yeah, man, totally. Well, again, tickets, Del Mar Hall, April 15th. Be there.
Be there.
Come party with us.
So what you want?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
When you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast or something like that, if you guys weren't.
All right, so do you want to say your name first?
I'll say I'm Scott, and then you'll say I'm Jason, and we're
both. And we'll say, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Oh, wait, what?
Peter Piper picked Rock Paper Podcast.
I don't know, bro.
Yeah, well, Sally sold Rock Paper Podcast.
Hi, I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason. And you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast
with my posse in effect. Boy.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Can you do one more?
You want to?
Something happened. There was some feedback.
I think it was when I put the headphones over the microphone.
It's not good for you.
Yeah.